In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Can you relate to that as you seek to represent your Savior today? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking today with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd. Welcome, Val.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
The sexual revolution has really done a job on both men and women, I believe. I think the feminist movement has confused all of us. Women don't know how to be women anymore. Men don't know how to be men. I remember talking to a friend, a young woman, who was asking me for advice about different things, major things in her own life. And I said, well, I think one of the things you need to learn is to be more feminine. And she said, well, I mean, like, you know, I just don't really think I know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a question that wouldn't have even crossed my mind. I didn't have any problem in knowing how to do it because my mother set that kind of an example. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't seem to be happening nowadays. Another word that we hear constantly today, which certainly wasn't in my vocabulary when I was a young woman, was fulfillment. Women want to feel fulfilled. And they have been told for the several decades that fulfillment lies outside the home. What would you say about that?
I have never had a regular job outside the home. And since I've been married, almost 18 years now, I have stayed in the home and been very fulfilled in it. And I remember when I left college not expecting to have a job because I wasn't looking for fulfillment in a career, but I was expecting to be a wife and mother. So I'm very thankful that God gave me a husband and has given us children. In this day and age, it seems that women choose motherhood, they choose to get married, they choose children, they plan how many children they will have, they plan when they're going to have them. It doesn't seem to be biblical because God chooses for us. And I really believe that fulfillment comes from accepting what God has given us. And I am more fulfilled when I accept and love my husband and when I accept and love the children that he has given me, rather than trying to figure out in society's ways through psychology or through popular thinking how these children are going to develop. If I worry about how they're going to develop, then I spend way too much time on that and not enough time just simply loving the child and taking care of him or her. I'd like to quote from an article by George Gilder. He wrote in the National Review in October of 1986. He wrote this about motherhood. Previously, motherhood was regarded as inevitable. One didn't choose it, one accepted it. Without any sense of other options, the responsibility for numerous children may even have seemed less onerous than the responsibility for a few today. In the past, sickness, mortality, slow learning, and other childhood afflictions were taken for granted as a part of life. Today, the mother is expected to control them. To the difficult tasks of caring are now added burdens of medical attention, psychological analysis, and early education. It is not a role that, in its continual and varied demands, men show any serious inclination to perform. And there we have the wonderful fact that in our deepest desires of our hearts, God gave us the desire to take care of children. Mothers are to take care of small children, and we're to take care of all their little needs. Men don't have that deep natural inclination. But they do have a deep inclination to be aggressive and to provide for and to take care of what God has given them.
When they refuse that, and when they perhaps fail to exalt the positions of both fathers and mothers. Could that be a reason for the lack of fulfillment that women seem to feel?
Yes, I really believe that the more women try to find fulfillment in doing other things besides the things that God has put right in front of them to do, the more discontented and unhappy they will be.
And I think there are a lot of men that have bought this idea. I mean, they have actually believed what the feminists have said, how necessary it is for a woman to find fulfillment, and therefore she needs to work outside of the home, which means that the tasks of the home must be split 50-50, as well as the task outside of the home. One person brings home 50% of the bacon and does 50% of the housework, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And when men may pay some attention to that and claim to agree, do you think that there are very many men who seriously want to split the work and home duties 50%?
No, I don't think there are very many men.
I think the testimony I read in many secular magazines and newspapers and hear it on the TV that no matter how much men may claim to be willing to split everything 50-50, when they come home, the habit is you sit down on the sofa, you pick up the newspaper, you turn on the TV, and you ask your wife when's dinner.
Mm-hmm. Betty Friedan, of course, one of the feminists, outspoken feminists, shed public tears for women having to do housework that is drudgery, having to fritter away their talents in boredom and being trapped by babies at home. And there have been some studies done on suburban housewives and whether these suburban housewives are truly fulfilled and happy. A lady named Mrs. Lopata conducted 573 specific personal interviews around Chicago of women who stayed at home. And she found that suburban housewives, by a significant margin, were more likely than working women to be using their education in their lives, to be reading widely and curiously, to be maintaining close and varied friendships, and to be involved in community affairs. And she also found that only 10% of suburban women reported frequent loneliness or boredom. Again, I have to say that I have been absolutely fulfilled in what I've been doing at home. And I did get a Christian liberal arts education. I majored in English literature. I loved my major. I did not get my teaching certificate. And I remember a lot of people being surprised about that I didn't get it. And they would ask me, well, what are you going to do with English literature? And I would say, hopefully, that I wanted to use it with my own children, use what I had learned with my own children. And I think to a certain extent, I have used my love for literature with my children. Of course, haven't used the college books yet, but the love for writing and for what people have said down through the ages, I have definitely imparted to my children, at least to the older ones. And I've been very fulfilled, even though I've had to wash many dishes and wash many diapers and cook many meals. I've not felt the least bit stifled.
Don't you think that we've become very utilitarian in our thinking, that everything that we do has to have a purpose and a visible, tangible result of some sort?
Yes.
Obviously, training for any specific job is with that aim and object in mind, and we have to be able to assess what the results are. Mm-hmm. And it's very mm-hmm. difficult to assess the results of a liberal arts education, and mm-hmm. I think institutions of higher learning have gradually been slipping away more and more from an understanding of what a liberal arts education is. Mm-hmm. But it is supposed to give you a breadth of vision. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is it a waste of money?
No, I don't think it was for me. And I'm very thankful that I had the education that I had. It was all a gift, and it was to draw out. Education means to draw out, and it was to draw out the gifts that God has given. And I think in anybody's education, God is going to use however or whoever educated you to help you to grow up to be the man or woman that he wants you to be. So I'm thankful for what I had. And in your book, Let Me Be a Woman, you have a chapter called Is Submission Stifling? And you had spoken at a college where you had gotten a letter by a writer who said that you were an ambiguous role model because you were a writer and yet you were telling women that they could be most fulfilled in being a wife and a mother. And you say, I've tried to think these charges through. I suppose I am an ambiguous role model if a mother is not supposed to write books, or if a wife who is submissive would never be asked to speak on a college platform, or if no college graduate ought to love housework. It happens that both you and I love housework, and I think it's because you set a good example for me growing up. But even if we have some bent towards intellectualism, there is nothing that is stifling or covering up that bent in raising children. There is so much challenge and so much wisdom needed in raising children. You say in your chapter, Is Submission Stifling? The intellectual woman who feels stifled by what I say have not yet understood the biblical meaning of freedom. God's service is, as our prayer book says, perfect freedom. And when we give ourselves to what God has given us to do, we find perfect freedom and real joy. Whereas if we go after something that we think will give us fulfillment, we find more and more bondage.
Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So that freedom is clearly taught by Jesus as lying on the far side of obedience.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.